Graham Couch, Lansing State Journal opinion maker, Couch in the Room podcast. He is standing by on the Meyer guest line. How you doing, my friend?
I'm doing well. How about yourself?
Doing good. Now the Lions, now everybody's picking the Lions to win. Here they are, 0-7. They're playing Philly, and here you go. You know what's going to happen. I know the complete flip of what we witnessed Sunday when they played four quarters of football for the first time all year. We're going to expect them to win at home. People are going to line up, get tickets, and then they're going to blow it and lose to the Eagles.
Bill, this is the advantage of gambling being legal in Michigan. If you're a fan and your team is horrible, you have to take advantage of it and profit on the misery. A couple years ago, 2019, with the Couch of the Roo podcast, we bet against every single Tigers game. And it was unbelievable. That's hard. In baseball, usually Vegas can only adjust so much with the run lines, and we made money. And this year with the Lions, they're just about there where you can do it and at least enjoy some riches from the pain.
You know, speaking of riches from the pains, last line I saw, I think it's open at 2.5, Michigan favored by 2.5, and I get Michigan as that national brand, so a lot of Vegas money, and now with a lot of states with legalized sports betting, they have a name in terms of football. I think nationally a little bit bigger than Michigan State, and I think the line bumped up to 4.5 the last time I saw it. Spartans getting 4.5 at home and the number 7 team in the country. That's interesting.
It is interesting. I think the value is on Michigan State because I don't think anybody knows which way this game's going to go. And to me, whoever, and especially as a home underdog, which means if this was a neutral field, the line's at 7.5. If it was in Ann Arbor, it'd be 10.5 around. So the fact that there's, you know, I mean, and the way Michigan State's played in Ann Arbor, I think there'd be tremendous value if the game was there and the line was closer to 10. But, yeah, I mean, Michigan's always going to have that issue, right? And it happens with Michigan State basketball with Izzo a lot, Michigan football, Michigan State basketball, where the brand creates a perception sometimes that isn't entirely where the line should be. And that doesn't mean Michigan's not better than Michigan State or vice versa. We just don't know. And in a situation like this where I don't think anybody's sure, you take the home underdog.
Yeah, money line on the DraftKings Sportsbook app board, State plus 165. So that means bet 100, you get 165 back. So, yeah, they're the home team. Yeah, the money line. That feels like a money line play on the DraftKings Sportsbook app.
Yeah, although in this recently in this rivalry, Michigan State's been better in Ann Arbor than they have at home. So it is, you know, it really hasn't mattered a ton where the game has been in terms of the home team taking advantage of that. I think one of the things that makes this game so interesting is this year is there is this sort of combination of hope and optimism from every fan base, but an uneasiness, I meant to say there, because I don't think anybody knows. I don't think there's a lot of confidence that either side has the better team. You just don't know what to expect, and a lot of that has to do with the fact that neither one of these teams has played a really quality opponent to this point. That's not their fault. Washington wound up being a lot worse than people expected. Miami is a disappointment per usual. Northwestern is down this year. Nebraska gives the game away no matter who they play. You know, Indiana snake bit. And so there's been a lot of things that have just sort of created this dynamic where it's not that they're not deserving to be 7-0, and they've taken care of business, and they both seem to have, you know, play smart, disciplined football in that sense. But neither of them, this would be the first quality, really quality win for either of them against a quality opponent. And so when you don't have that and you don't have a team where you go, boy, they went into there and did that. They did that to so-and-so. They really ran it down their throats. And, you know, if Michigan, after Michigan State had struggled against Nebraska, had just flattened the Huskers, people might go, huh. But that's not really what happened. So, and I think that's the only thing that we really have right now is a sort of transitive property game. As you saw Michigan State struggle with Indiana and Indiana's defense, and then saw what Ohio State did to Indiana. And I think that's bad news for both of these teams.
And I think with Michigan, the one game you hold on to, now regardless of the bad first half against Northwestern at home, the bad second half against Rutgers at home, you look at what they did at Wisconsin, because I really don't think that's a horrible football team. I believe they're a little bit better than their record, and they barely lost to Penn State at home. You know, I know they struggled against Army, but that win against Purdue. You caught them after the emotion of beating Iowa. The one game, because it was on the road, and it wasn't your typical crazy Camp Randall crowd, but that's the one game where I look at it and I say, okay, Michigan, can you do this in Ann Arbor in the rivalry game? Because for both teams, and what's interesting, and I really echo what you're saying in my own words, though, Graham, that Michigan is 6 in the country at 7-0. State is 7 in the country at 7-0. Yet you and I, and pretty much everybody listening right now, we really don't know how good either team is.
Yeah, and we have some ideas that they're not perfect. So we've seen them, you know, at moments struggle, like a team that was truly a juggernaut. You'd think most years in college football wouldn't have the second half that Michigan had against Rutgers. Michigan State wouldn't have the performances against Nebraska and Indiana offensively if their offense was truly sort of matchup proof, and they're not. And the thing about the Wisconsin game that makes that interesting is I'm starting to believe Wisconsin is a little bit of two different teams this season. I do believe Wisconsin was a truly dreadful offensive football team for a while and not a great football team overall, but most of that was their offense, and they seem to have turned a corner here, and that's screwing some things up. That's how they took care of Purdue so easily. And so where were they when they actually played Michigan? And we don't really have a sense of that either. And, you know, Michigan has taken advantage of a couple teams that have good defenses but very little offense in Washington and Wisconsin that sort of, you know, eventually that defense just breaks. And when you play a Michigan State team that does have a little more room for offensively, how do they handle that? But then again, there's a formula on how to give Michigan State's offense fits. If you can win at the line of scrimmage without having to put a lot of extra attention on it, then you've got a chance against their passing game. And we've seen Indiana and Nebraska have success that way. So there's so many things we just don't know. Can Michigan State make Michigan win with their quarterback? And that hasn't had to happen. Like, there's a lot of things neither one of these teams have proven that they're getting a spot and they can really beat a good team with. And that just adds to the intrigue.
A lot of intrigue. Michigan on the DraftKings Sportsbook app, I just checked, it's still a 4.5-point favorite. Over-under is at 50.5. Weather looks perfect, close to 60 and sunny on Saturday. Will be the best day in a while here on this side of the state. Everything's setting up. Winner. Who has more to lose? I understand both teams are undefeated. More to lose in the standings, it would be both teams. But I said this yesterday, my opening huge opinion, Graham, that there is more pressure on Harbaugh to win this game than Mel Tucker.
Oh, entirely. Big picture. I mean, if you go micro in this season, it's, you know, there's a lot to gain and lose for both teams. But if you're just looking at big picture, because what would be lost for Michigan State if they lose is an opportunity wasted. But if Mel Tucker is able to go 2-0, when no coach at Michigan State's ever done that, and sort of continue what D'Antonio had going, and then it's 10-14 years against Michigan. You think about that. I remember Tom Izzo once saying to me when I asked him how long it would take to flip a rivalry and sort of the way people thought about it, and he said, well, in basketball it took 10 years. And he said, in football I think it would take 15. Well, you're getting close to that. And it might be the sort of the final nail to Harbaugh if things don't go well against Ohio State then, too. And so, yeah, there's so much more, I think, in terms of what there is to lose for Michigan. But there would be a pretty massive opportunity. I mean, this is a big chance to sort of have a grip on your rival in the state for a new coach who's recruiting well. And it's not that you can't keep recruiting well, and it's not that you can't build the way you were. But if you take down Michigan the first 2 years, and their coach doesn't survive, perhaps because of it, that's really telling, and that's a feather in your cap.
Graham Couch from the Lansing State Journal, opinion maker. Graham Couch on Twitter, also Couch in the Rube podcast, wherever you download podcasts. Joining us on the Meyer guest line here on the Huge Show across Michigan. Yeah, I agree. A lot more for Harbaugh in terms of, you know, beating your rivals. If he wants 4 more years of job security, win Saturday in East Lansing and beat Ohio State at home. One final thought, I want to get your feedback on it, from James Franklin, talking about eyes are on Illinois when asked about all the job openings. And Mel Tucker, hey, please, I want to stay focused on this game. you know, part of me says, could we see Mel Tucker at LSU and Franklin at USC next year? What do you think, Graham?
Yeah, I mean, I certainly think that's possible. I don't. If I was USC, I think they're more appealing coaches than James Franklin. But there's nothing is impossible in that sense. And I think the Michigan State's going to have to prove to Tucker that it can provide the resources around him. I don't think it's as much his own salary that he's worried about. It's being able to build to win big. I don't know what he was supposed to say this week. It's a tough spot. It's not like he's communicated with LSU. That's just a report that's coming out of LSU's interest. But there's no question that until he says at the end of the year, I'm staying put, these questions are going to linger.
I agree. But he can't. What did somebody expect yesterday? Like, all right, welcome back to Mel Tucker's press conference, week of Michigan and Michigan State. Looks like Graham Couch from the Lansing State Journal will have the first question.
No.
Mel, are you leaving? Yeah, I'm leaving, but I'm really excited about this game Saturday.
Yeah, you know, and we get on these coaches all the time for lying about this stuff. And then
he didn't lie.
He didn't lie. Right. And so when he just, skirts around it and tries to keep his focus where it is, knowing there may be a job out there that pays $9 million a year at the end of the year that he's going to have to think about. I mean, I don't think there's anything wrong with living in that reality, and people shouldn't be as hurt by it. I mean, there are some weird parallels with this year in 1999 when, Michigan State was also undefeated facing Michigan with a game against Purdue the next week and lost their coach to LSU. There are a lot of weird things going on there, but I think that you just got to let this play out. I think Tucker is better off just sort of skirting around it than saying something that bites him later.
Yeah, it was better than Franklin saying, hey, I'm not going to comment on that. I got my eyes focused on Illinois. Maybe he's so excited about the ending with that 2-point overtime love fest that he wants to play football like that all the time. My Lord, the way they played, I'll say this, and I had some buddies, we were talking earlier today at lunch, that the way Penn State just laid down against Illinois, it's like they know something, or Franklin's lost a team, or they can sense he's leaving there. To be that bad, to be that bad anywhere against Illinois, bad start to finish. I get Clifford's banged up, but there's something off the field there, and chances are it could be all the rumors circulating in regards to Franklin leaving.
Yeah, and I mean, because Illinois looked better physically. That's what was interesting.
I know.
It wasn't some fluke game where they had some turnovers and a little snake bit, and we've seen that. We know what that game looks like. You also know a game when you're watching it, and you're going, these guys can't run the ball against them. These guys are physically better than them. And Illinois deserved to win that game, I think. I mean, that's what was weird about the game.
It was weird. Illinois had two games, like when they played Nebraska and they played Penn State, where you're like, oh, they look pretty good running. It's Bielema football. It's low scoring. It's power football. You don't pass a lot, and we'll see. The Big Ten has been absolutely crazy, and we're just beginning the big boy game stretch. Graham Couch, Couch in the Room podcast, Lansing State Journal, opinion maker. Graham, always appreciate the commentary.
Enjoyed it, Bill. Talk to you soon.
All right, Graham joining us, talking about Michigan at Michigan State on Saturday at noon.